Good afternoon. My name is Dan Lee from the College of William & Mary. Today I'll be presenting our work of understanding the performance implication of NAS file system in a virtualization environment. This is a joint work with Hai Huang from IBM Research and my advisor, Hanyi Wang, also from the College of William & Mary. For the current computer systems, file system has been used differently, but mainly based on the workload. However, when it comes to virtualizations, the use of file system has been changed. This is because the use of the disk image, files, disk image or raw partition to expose as a virtual block device at a guest virtual machine. And that's created another layer of abstraction between physical storage and the file system used at the guest virtual machine. Because there is one file system below another, an optimization of the file system which is based on a certain assumption of single layer file system might not improve, but sometimes even hurt the performance. There are several works have been studied in this abstraction, known as a study of an impact of the performance of I/O scheduler at both get and host level, or an impact of the performance of mixing the storage space allocation functionalities, or a capability to move better virtualization interface up to stack to level of the file system to improve the performance. However, no work has been studied the impact on the performance of the choice of the file system in the guest and at the host of the virtualization environment, known as a performance implications. So as we can see that in the regular system, a file system is selected based on the workloads. However, in a virtualization environment, a selected file system for running guest virtual machine are based on not just only the workload, but also the file system deployed at the host. And the question, should be how an abstraction brought by a virtualization will impact on the I/O performance via two layers of the file system, the guest and the host file systems. So it is important to study the performance implication of not just only one particular guest file system when it placed on top of one host file system, but also multiple guest file system across multiple host file system. And in this research, we focus on six types of file system, including EXT2, EXT3, EXT4, RAISFS, HFS, and JFS. So before diving into an investigation, we may need to clarify the goal. Instead of asking how to gain the best performance in the scenario of nesting of the file system, this question should be asked how to determine a combination of guest and host file system for the best performance. So therefore, to understand the I/O dependency between host and guest file system, it is important to observe the I/O behavior of nest file system and the various I/Os in their interaction and different setup. So here, to produce I/O variations, we plan to use different emulator workloads, and for a different setup, we take advantage of different ways to represent a virtual block device at the virtual machine, such as a file, disk image, or physical disk. So to do that, first we conduct experimentation at the macro level to verify if the nesting of the file system causes performance variation. And based on the experimentation result, we go to another level of details, the micro level, and try to analyze the I/O behavior and find root cause. And finally, we give advice based on what we found. So let's start at the macro level. First, let's see how we set up the test bed. So for the host, we use a regular computer, which includes an experimental physical disk. So this experimental storage is divided as equal partitions. And for each partition, we format it as a particular file system type. A flat file is used as a disk image, and on this image on each partition, and that is exposed as a virtual block device at the guest. Here we repeat again the partitioning of virtual disk as six equal logic disk, and we format them at the way we did at the host level. So we use last partition of the physical disk to directly expose as a logical block device at the guest, and we call it BD, to indicate that this disk will be used as a block device. So we use FiveBench as a popular industry benchmark for our experimentations. Here we use FiveBench to emulate four times popular workloads, including file server, web server, database server, and mail server. As mentioned, we highly focus on the I/O performance, and here the performance features I/O throughput and latency. To analyze the performance variation of one guest file system when it placed on top of different host file system, we consider I/O performance when the raw partition is used as a baseline and observe it as a relative performance variation to this baseline. For instance, a database server. The baseline, which corresponds to the performance when a raw partition is used as a virtual block device. Here, this chart shows actual throughput. And on the right side, it shows number of cluster chart. Each cluster of chart consists of relative performance of compared to the baseline of six different guest file system when they place on top of one type of host file system. Since there are six type of file system, including ESD2, ESD3, ESD4, RACFS, JFS, and XFS, this results in 36 different combination of file system of system configurations, and each configuration represents a different storage option of the file system in a guest virtual machine. As shown in this figure, so each cluster chart, for each cluster chart, the guest file system are color code, and for the host file system, they are represented x-axis. If the baseline are expressed in absolute number, the relative performance of the guest file system are in percentage. The relative performance numbers show how close of the performance of the guest file system to the baseline. In this result of the database, we can see that the throughput of the RACFS guest file system is reduced up to like 67% when the host file system is EHT2. However, when this RACFS guest file system run on top of JFS, the impact is insignificant. And similar to the result of database server, we can see that in the result of the web server, the throughput of EHT4 guest file system does not show much variation when it runs on top of either EHT2 or JFS host file system. The difference here is only about 4%. So therefore, based on the experimental results, our first observation is that the performance of a guest file system is very differently across the host file system. If we take a look at the result of the file server, as you can see that the performance degradation of the EHT2 and EHT3 guest file system are not similar when they run on top of EHT3 host file system. Here, the throughput degradation is 10% for EHT2 and 40% for EHT3, respectively. So our second observation, which focuses on the performance impact of the host file system on guest file system, will be a host file system impact differently on the performance of various guest file systems. Experimental result of the mail server also showed that how badly performance result can be if the wrong combination of guest file system used on top of the host file system is chosen. However, it is always possible to find a good combination whose performance loss is the lowest. Here's an example of the EHT2 guest file system when it runs on top of EHT2 host file system, which showed that the throughput degradation is the lowest. And therefore, our third observation about the file system combination is that a right guest host file system combination can produce minimum performance degradation, as well as the performance can be impacted badly if the wrong combination is chosen. Once more, if we look closer at an example of the mail server, we can see that all NAS file systems perform poorly. By comparing the I/O size between other services, we found that this mail server workload has much higher portion of I/Os for writes than for read.
And therefore, our last observation at the macro level experimentation throughput is that the performance of the NEST file system is affected much more by write operation than read operations. For the other performance features, latency, our experimental result also show that this features is impact when a guest file system is provisioned on top of host file system. Although the impact of the NEST file system to the throughput can be minimized by choosing the right combination of guest and host file system, we observe that the latency is much more sensitive to the nesting of the file system. Based on these observations, it is important to go to the next level of detail to analyze IO's behavior of the NEST file systems. We keep the same testbed and use FIRE's utility for micro level benchmarking. Here, our focus is the level of the performance, specifically the IO throughput. And we specifically concentrate on primitive IOs, such as read and write, and random and sequential. So specifically, we produce 4 test cases corresponding to 4 type workloads, sequential read, sequential write, random read, and random write. First, for read-dominated workloads, as you can see that this set of results, under the dominant random read workload, the performance is not impacted. However, under sequential read workload, it is interesting to see that the performance is sometimes even improved. And here's an example of EHT3 guest file system. When you run on top of JFS host file system, the performance is even improved by 34%. So for this reason, under read-dominated workload, our first observation is that the nesting of the file system does not impact on the performance of the read-dominated workloads. For write-dominated workloads, experimental results show that both random and sequential workloads cause various performance degradations across different combinations of guest and host file system. And in particular, when HFS operates as a host file system, the performance of the guest file system under both random and sequential workload are degraded by up to 40%. Therefore, for write-dominated workload, we observe that the I/O performance is significantly impacted by NEST file system. Based on this observation, we concentrate on sequential I/O and select few representative combinations of guest and host file system for the deep analysis. First, for the sequential read-dominated workload, we consider 2 cases of EHT3 guest file system when it runs on a raw partition and a JFS host file system. For sequential write-dominated workload, there are 2 cases to be considered. The first case is that when 2 file system combinations include the same host file system, here we choose EHT3 and JFS as 2 guest file systems, which operate on top of RaceFS host file system. The second case is that when 2 file system combinations consist of the same guest file system, here we choose JFS when it's used as a guest, and RaceFS and XFS are used as a host. And we use block trace at both guest and host level to record trace and conduct analysis. For sequential read workload, we first compared this I/O and found that JFS host file system greatly reduced the number of queue I/O compared to the raw partitions. By comparing the caching ratio between 2 cases at both get and host level, we found that the first root cause of this behavior is because of prefetching techniques, or we know as a read ahead, which occur at the block layer of the host level. This read ahead reduced the number of I/O requests issued for reading. The result of caching ratio illustrates this behavior in which no read ahead issue when raw partition is due instead of this image. Besides read ahead, few IOs are issued for reading in NEST file system, resulting in much fewer sorting merging activities occur at the block layer of the host. As shown in the third chart, Activity of short immersion causes long idle time for request to queue. For sequential write workload, we first consider a case when a different guest file system runs on top of same host file system, and the sensitivity of I/O scheduler and block allocation scheme are our focus. So we found that at the guest level, JFS show much less I/O than EHT3, and this result corresponds to what we see on the second set of results, in which EHT3 guest file system caused multiple requests at queue. This result in a longer waiting time in the queue compared to those of JFS guest file system. A deep analysis by monitoring every I/O's issue for both EHT3 showed that, first, the block allocation scheme of EHT3 caused most I/O's at byte merge. Therefore this resulting in a clustering of multiple I/O's. However, that requires I/O's to be wait longer in the queue for being processed. And the second, JFS requires multiple current locking entry to be questioned as one commit, thus reducing the number of I/O spending for journaling. Therefore, our finding for this analysis is that an optimization provided by I/O scheduler is no longer valid for all NAS file system. And the second is that if we had to choose a NAS file system for our system, it should be based on an effectiveness of the I/O scheduler operation on its block allocation scheme. The second test case for this sequential write workload concentrate on the block allocation scheme when JFS perform on top of RACFS and HFS. At the host level, we found that even though the number of I/O queue and serve are not really different, HFS show a significant queue time. We later found that this is because of two reasons. First, the block allocation scheme of HFS called long distance seek. And the second is that HFS caused multiple and unnecessary journal locking. Therefore, our finding for such sequential write workloads show that due to two level of block allocation scheme, an effectiveness brought by the block allocation mechanism of guest file system is not guaranteed when I/O goes through to the host level. In addition, because journal locking occurs on this image, is frequently under an intensive write dominated workload, an update of journal log should be careful considered because it can impact on the performance of guest file system, especially in the case of HFS host file system. The majority of its performance loss is attributed to not only a replacement of journal logs, but also how these logs are updated. So based on those findings, we give advice. For read dominated workloads, nesting of the file system causes minimum impact on I/O performance, especially for certain combination of guest and host file system. Sequential read-dominated workload can even improve the performance. For write-dominated workloads, nesting of the file system should be avoided due to this nesting creates another pass-through layer. And that causes an extra I/O for metadata updates, which occur frequently. On top of that, journaling at host file system sometimes is not good because that induces extra I/Os. For workloads which are latency sensitive, it should be careful to perform on NAS file system due to latency can be increasing up to 30%. For data allocation scheme, as we can see that at the host level, it cannot differentiate I/Os from guest file system if they are I/Os for data or metadata. Therefore, host file system block allocation scheme cannot work well in certain cases. And because of that, sometimes a host file system just passing through all IOs from the gas fire system is even helped to avoid performance degradation. For the best performance, besides of choosing the right combination of gas and host fire system, we can tune up our fire system parameters for the better performance. But yeah, obviously, the tune-up should be done at the host level, because the host level fire system wouldn't be benefit more when it directly perform IO with the physical storage. For instance, we can disable a smart block allocation scheme so that the host fire system is able to operate as a kind of non-smart disk and pass through all the IO. And we can eliminate access time to reduce extra IOs on metadata. So thank you, and I'll take any questions.
A resident, Stony Brook University. The way you partitioned your second drive into equal zones, then you decided you put ext2 in the first one, and so on, all the way to the last one. Have you tried to format different file systems in different partitions of that drive, or that was the only fixed way that you've done it?
Are you talking at the host level, right?
Yes, at the host level.
Yeah, at the host level, actually, we partitioned different disks, and we format each partitions at different type of file systems.
But did you try to put ext2 on the first partition, then try it again on the second one, and on the third, and on the fourth, and on the fifth? Did you try every possible combination?
No, we didn't.
Okay, then your results have one serious flaw that you're not taking into account the zone constant angular velocity effect, or ZCAV effect.
I understand, yes.
Which has been shown to have as much as 25% variation in performance between the beginning and end of the disk. And so you might be giving an advantage or disadvantage to certain type of file systems, and you really ought to try every possible combination and average them. Otherwise, a lot of your results could have a margin of error of 25% or so.
I mean, yeah, I didn't understand the questions, but yes, we consider that. I think it should, yeah, we say like the this geometry, right? If you put file system in, the speed of the inner this area will have like the lower throughput than the outside outer disk cylinders. Yes, we did experiment that and show that. And it showed that at different disk partitions, it showed different speeds. But the difference between the different in terms of throughput between different partition, it's less than 5%, and we think that is fairly negligible.
Okay, I see that. I'm just saying that once you put a file system on top of it, the access patterns to it might change how things are done.
I mean, yes.
To be fair, you really ought to try all combinations and average them out.
Yes, we did that, but it turned out that running the whole process like 42 combination of gas of file system, it took a long time. And at the beginning, we tried that, and we don't see much different, and we decide to give the same test bed for the whole experiment.
Okay, thank you. Yeah. John Groves at Dell, two quick things. Did you guarantee that the container files were pre-allocated before you started?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, we used FlatFi, and all are pre-allocated.
Okay, and yeah. Also, did you guarantee that the upper level file system was doing direct IO so that you weren't going through the page cache of the lower level file system?
Yes, we make sure that this IO alignment is handled correctly.
Yep. Okay. Rick Wheeler, Red Hand.
Yes.
I think it would have been useful to have more of the details of your specifics of your setup. So some of the things about the alignment and everything are good, but also typically when we install virtual machine image guest, we don't use IO schedulers in the upper level in the guest. So having IO scheduling happening twice is just not a goodness, right?
I'm sorry, I don't understand. You say that
the upper level IO scheduler in the guest operating system probably should be just a no-op.
Oh, yes. Yeah. It's it, uh, we Because of the work of IO scheduler, a guest and host is already done before. And in our test batch, we don't consider that a problem. And we just use the default IO schedulers when we build up either the guest or physical systems with Linux. So in the paper, we mentioned that we use that CFQ and deadline because it's first is the default setup, and second, it's based on the other paper which I already mentioned. When the guest use the CFQ and the host use deadline, the performance, the IO performance will be the best. So that's the reason we keep the IO scheduler at both guest and host for the whole setup and for all experimentations.
Dutch Meyer, University of British Columbia. So you did all of this with just raw image files.
That's raw image and pre-allocated.
Do you think your findings about nested file systems would generalize to a situation where I had a virtual machine image management layer between your host and guest file systems?
We tried that, but if you put another level like this image management or something like that, it's definitely gonna lower the performance. So we try to avoid any other layers and just put a raw pre-allocated this image at the host, and I suppose it's as.
But it's going to do more than lower performance. It's going to change where you perform poorly, right? I'm wondering if we have a bunch of findings about nested file systems, but and it's great that we're doing this work, but I think. Don't we also need to know what happens? It's not just that performance goes down, it's that read performance starts to get affected more, for example. Don't you think?
Not really. Can you please?
We should take it offline.
Yeah. Okay.
So I looked at your paper, and it's based on Linux 2.6.23, I think.
Yeah.
If you look back at your results, you will see that everyone but XT4 and XFS is really good on the write workloads. And that's because that's the only two file systems that actually flush your disk's caches. So all the other I/O never actually made it to the platter. And at the same time, you're also reusing the old QMU that never passed cache flushes through. So any guest workload that actually flushes caches does not actually end up being an fsync in the host. So in the end, you're pretty much measuring workloads that don't actually.
In the paper we clearly mention all those kind of side effects that maybe occurs, and yes, we did make sure all the cache already flush out when we measure the throughput, and when you do the kind of write.
For example, XT2 and JFS can't actually ever flush a disk cache, so you actually have to physically disable it in the disk. So unless you do that, and given that it's not mentioned in the paper, I assume you don't, and it totally fits the numbers, I think it's measurement that's way off.
I think you worry about a specific EXT2, EXT3, or JFS file system.
I worry about getting my data actually out to platter and not lose it with a disk cache if the machine goes down.
But during the run, whenever we finish one IOs, we make sure that everything at the cache or at the host already flushed out before we get results. And that's what I strongly believe
it's not about operating system caches. It's about disk caches, which have to be flushed if you're running on consumer SATA disks.
You should take it off.
Take it off.
Okay. All right, let's thank the speaker.